Blog Talk Radio.
This is Syndicated News, and I'm Raymond F. Rivas. The time is 9 o'clock Eastern Standard Time. I'm Raymond Rivas, Chief Financial Editor. The name of my firm is Atherton Wealth Planning, and you may contact me at my email address of raymond@lpl.com. You're listening to syndicatednews.net. This is being brought to you tonight by Shadow Operations Limited, LLC. And our special guest tonight is Mr. Tony Sutton. Tony is the Aston Martin owner of the Aston Martin of Naples in Naples, Miami. Are you on board, Tony?
I am definitely here. I'd just like to just thank you for having me on, and as much as I'd love to be the owner, I'm actually just the manager, but perhaps one day.
Well, I've elevated you, if nothing else.
You have.
Trying to tell me?
It's a very nice thought, and perhaps one day, but at the moment I just need to manage it and make sure it does okay.
Okay. Well, the Aston Martin, I think, as we all know, is just not a vehicle. It is a lifestyle.
Absolutely.
The name of Aston Martin needs no introduction. It's where you purchase your Aston Martin may make a whole lot of difference to you. Out in Naples, Florida, this dealership excels in the product quality as well as providing superior and extraordinary personal service. And I've asked Tony to be my guest this evening to talk about the Aston Martin. Tony, what makes the Aston Martin so special?
The customers that we have, we're in a very enjoyable position in that we don't provide transport with our cars. We're very fortunate in as much as we have Aston Martin here. We also, on the same facility, have Rolls-Royce, we have Bentley, we have Jaguar, and we have Land Rover. But the thing that makes them special is that we are not a supplier of transport. Our cars are not just a means to get from A to B. Our customers don't need our cars. They have a desire to own them. So, you know, it's our job to find out what that desire includes and to try and fulfill the passion they have for our products. We never forget, first and foremost, that we are in a people business, and even the best product in the world wouldn't sell as well as it would without great customer service. So we have some great cars here, but the customer service is what we hope brings our customers back time and time again. Most of our customers have owned prestigious cars before, and some are very, very knowledgeable about what makes a good car good, but more importantly, what makes a great car great. And that's why we have a very loyal customer base who become fans of the brand, not just owners. The whole tradition with Aston Martin is something that, you know, we start to talk to customers about it, and they almost take over the conversation, which is great. It just means that, you know, they're really into the brand. They really understand what the vehicles are all about, what they're designed to do, what they're manufactured to do, and how that whole process takes place, and eventually how they get to enjoy the cars.
It seems to me that they have your customers have a tremendous love of the automobile. Is that basically a true statement?
Oh, it is, yeah. We have some real enthusiasts, and we have vehicles that are probably on the higher end of the money scale. So when somebody's going to spend, you know, quite a substantial sum of money, they want it to be on something that's going to be real quality, is going to be really enjoyable to drive, and is going to really enhance their lifestyle. And a lot of people, we find, they will come in and they will buy it as a statement of, I've done a good job, my business is going well, my career is going well, and I deserve this type of car. And as I say, you know, that's our job to make sure that we can fulfill those desires.
It seems like they have desires and dreams, and they have a very positive outlook in owning an Aston Martin. When did Aston Martin begin manufacturing this automobile?
Aston Martin originally started back in 1914, but the thing with Aston Martin in those days was that the two guys that started the company, it's pretty much documented that they didn't go into the business to become very, very wealthy as far as owning a car company. They wanted a car company because it led them to racing, and that was their real passion. They wanted to go racing in cars. They wanted to compare themselves against some very worthy competitors at the time. And you know, it's taken nearly 100 years for us to get to where we are today, and to have such a fantastic product. But originally, these guys, they just wanted to go racing, and building a car and selling some cars is what enabled them to do exactly that.
I think, as I remember, their names were that Leon Martin and Robert Bamford.
Yes, Lionel and Robert. Yes.
I see. And I think they were originally cyclists, as I remember.
Yeah, they there was a business that they were both involved in, but they also were both in the First World War. They were both in different branches of the military in the First World War, and you know, it was a very, very fortuitous combination, the two of them getting together and you know, being able to start this company and, you know, really fulfill their own dreams. Even if you look at it 100 years ago, they had a dream of going racing, and that's what they did.
Do you, Jeff, I'm kind of curious, do you know why they call it Aston Martin? Because it's Lionel Martin and Robert Bamford.
Well,
what I've been reading is that that Martin raced specials at the Aston Hill.
Absolutely. There's a place in England called Aston Clinton. And there was a racing series there, and their cars did extremely well in this particular racing series. So that's how they got the name Aston, from where the cars did really, really well in the races. And obviously Martin came from the surname of one of the originators. So that's how the name came about. And It even today, you know, it has a feel about it. You can sense the history and you can sense the heritage.
Oh my gosh, I can see that. You said that the story with Aston Martin started in about 1914.
Yes.
And it looks like their desire was to put together a true British racing car. What do you think inspired Aston Martin for this type of automobile in the beginning?
I think they originally they had just a passion for cars, and because at the time it was the very early stages of racing cars as we know it today, and the documented material on where they wanted to take the company and how they started it and what the motivation was is very much that they wanted to show that a British sports car could virtually rule the world. They wanted to take on Maserati. They wanted to take on all the famous brands that were racing at the time. That was just the motivation for them. It was, you know, just such a passion.
Well, it sounds like they were dedicated and true to themselves to produce the best car possible. I can see that the performance of an automobile is what this is really all about. Do you have any idea as to what they did in the beginning to separate their car from the other automobiles in the races?
I don't have the technical knowledge of what they did. I just know that from everything I've read, and I've read extensively about the brand, that they saw it as a moving target all the time. The just as soon as they got the car to one point which was a target for them, they wanted to then move that further on. They were always pushing the boundaries. They were always making the parameters different to see exactly how the car could perform, how it could handle, how it would become more reliable, how it would go faster, how it would accelerate better, how it would maintain traction. The whole mindset in getting the car to be the best it could possibly be is, it comes out in everything you read, everything you see, any films that you watch, any documentaries. You can just tell that was really their real passion, their real motivation.
It sounds to me what you're really saying is just their desire is
absolutely
almost unequaled.
Absolutely.
With the performance that they're trying to generate for the automobile, because when I think of Aston Martin, I think probably English elegance is what comes to mind.
Well, it's very kind of you to say that.
Well, it's a beautiful, beautiful car. So it sounds to me, when I'm talking to you, that there's a great deal of heritage of your company, and it runs really deep.
Yes. Yeah. The in a very short period of time, just a few years' time, we'll be celebrating 100 years of Aston Martin, and you can be sure that there'll be some celebrations, there'll be some special cars, there'll be lots of things to commemorate 100 years of Aston Martin, and it's only 5.5 years away. So it's something that we will look forward to, and obviously it's the place of my birth. Even though I'm not working there now, it's something that I hope to be involved in, and possibly on both sides of the Atlantic.
Well, that'd be a wonderful experience. Would you be very kind and tell me a little bit about the Aston Martin of Naples?
Of course. Aston Martin of Naples is part of Naples Luxury Imports, and we have five class-leading manufacturers here. We have Rolls-Royce, we have Bentley, we have Aston Martin, of course, we have Jaguar, and we have Land Rover. So it makes me feel very at home being from England to have five manufacturers here that originally started in my country of origin. So we have a brand new state-of-the-art two-level showroom that we've only actually been in for about 10 to 14 days. It's taken 3 years to plan and build, and it includes a complete new workshop, which is completely state-of-the-art. We have a huge parts facility. We have masses of customer parking, which is very important, because obviously with those
very
five
important
brands, we need to make sure that when somebody comes in, our valet parking can take their car and they're free to just look at the vehicles. Although the dealership's been in existence for many years, we've only recently added Rolls-Royce and Bentley, and then prior to that, Aston Martin. Jaguar and Land Rover have been around for a lot longer in this dealership. But from now on, we have all five brands all in one showroom. We managed to get Rolls-Royce on level two. So originally when the showroom was designed, we only had the four manufacturers, and then we managed to get Rolls-Royce as the fifth one. But because of the planning and the architects, we managed to get Rolls-Royce on our second level. So, you can imagine the second level overlooks the rest of the showroom. The showroom itself is a work of art. So hopefully we'll have lots of people here to see exactly what we're all about and how we can help them fulfill their dreams. And that's what I see our job as. It's very much an aspirational building, and you can, as you walk through the door, the cars are straight away there, and it's a very, very nice experience that when we see customers walk through the door and to see straight away how they start smiling when they see everything that's in front of them. It's a very, very nice experience.
When you first walked in into the new facility, let's say a couple of weeks ago,
yes,
what experience were you trying to see whether or not it was being given because of the way it was built? What was the experience that you felt when you first walked into that showroom?
Well, I've got to say, because the anticipation of us moving into this building, I mean, the facility we came from was right next door to the new facility, but it was probably a fifth of the size. So, the anticipation for us walking into this new showroom was just unbelievable. But the thing that we need to bring with us is the customers need to have the right feeling when they walk through the door. When we walk through the door, straight away we have a job to do. We have to make that instant impression. We have to make it feel welcoming. And I certainly got that feeling as I came through the door. Even though I have, I have an interest in making sure that everything's right, it's an enjoyable experience even for me. We have huge Bentley front doors, and as you walk through the door, it's almost like walking through like a castle type arrangement where you walk. Yeah, I mean, it's just, in a lot of ways, it can take your breath away. And as you come through the door, you walk straight into the Bentley showroom, and yeah, we've got people there that, you know, straight away want to make sure that you are looked after and you have the attention that you need and that you deserve. And from my point of view, as I come through the door, that's what I'm looking for. And it's not only what you see, it's what you feel as you come through the door. And I think as time goes by, that will get stronger and stronger, because it's like any facility. When you first move in, things that you think, right, that'll work really well. After a little while, when you've lived with it, you think, yeah, we can do that a little bit better. And that's something that I'm continually looking at. How do we improve on a daily basis? And I'm sure that as time goes by, we will get it better and better and better. But even now, I'm happy with how it's going.
It sounds to me you're trying to polish it to the point whereby when someone walks in into your showroom, they feel the elegance of the automobiles.
Absolutely.
It will reflect the training, the special training that every member of your staff gives out, whereby it's friendly, but yet it's elegant, but yet it's a very comfortable place. Do you think that's kind of what you're do you have a photograph or photographs of your showroom on your website?
They are being loaded. We actually had those taken yesterday. As you're probably aware, we're in Naples in Florida, and we weren't sure. We've recently had Tropical Storm Fay, and then we had Gustav that went by us. And at the moment, we're experiencing Hannah and Ike, or Hannah's actually gone, but we're getting the after effects of Ike. So, we have some challenges with our weather here. We had the pictures taken yesterday because we were hoping that the high winds that they said may come into Naples wouldn't disrupt any of our newly planted trees and, you know, the rest of the building. We have pictures being loaded onto the website. I think they will be on there by the end of this week.
Okay. Tony, do you have if someone wants to see your facility and see your website, can you give us the website name and how to get on the internet for you?
Yeah, we have various ways of getting on. You can go on to www.naplesluxuryimports.com, or you can go on to any of our manufacturers' names. You could go on to AstonMartinNaples.com, BentleyNaples.com, Rolls-Royce-Naples, and so on, Jaguar Land Rover. All of those websites will bring you to our main website, which is NaplesLuxuryImports.com.
And who are actually the owners of the Aston Martin of Naples?
We have a gentleman called Terry Taylor, and our general manager here is a guy called John Harris. Those two guys have done wonders in investing in this new facility, and we now have to make sure that we make sure that our clients get the benefit of that now.
How long has the Aston Martin of Naples been in this facility?
In the new facility?
Yeah, let's say in the new facility and the old facility, how long has it been in business in Naples?
Oh, I'm not 100% sure how long it's been running in Naples, because it was running under a different name, I think, up to maybe 2 years ago. And that particular facility, as far as I'm aware, was probably 30 to 35 years old. So I believe that as far as Jaguar and Land Rover is concerned, that there has been a presence here for a long time.
Yeah,
obviously,
no, like
the, the new franchises that we have, which is obviously the Rolls-Royce, the Bentley, Aston Martin, they're much newer to this location. And these are the ones, we have a great customer base here. Naples is a very, very good area for our vehicles. So hopefully the future is looking bright.
Tony, I have to step away for a moment or two while I give identify who our radio station is. Would you just hold on a moment or two?
Of course I will.
Hey, this is Syndicated News, and I'm Raymond F. Rivas. I'm the Chief of Financial Editor. The name of our firm is Atherton Wealth Planning, and we're located in Atherton, California. You're listening to syndicatednews.net, brought to you tonight by Shadow Operations. And now back to our guest, Mr. Tony Sutton. Tony, in part of our conversation, we were talking about the fact that the heritage of your company runs deep.
Yeah.
Why don't you tell us a little bit about that?
About
Aston Martin.
Okay. Well, as we've already touched on the vehicles have been built under the Aston Martin name for nearly 100 years, and obviously originally the company started off as a means to an end. I've seen it compared to vanity publications, in as much as the original founders of the company didn't go into it with a view. We're going to be, Mr. Ford. We're not going to be, fabulously wealthy because we're going to build Aston Martins. It was really a case of we're going to start a car company because it will enable us to go racing with these cars, and selling cars at the same time will help fund the whole, racing side of the business. Over the course of the years, Aston Martin has done fantastically well in racing. And even up to just recently, they've just won back-to-back championships at Le Mans. There has been quite a few ownership changes over the 95 odd years of existence, but probably the most significant ownership change took place in 2007 when Ford Motor Company, who had owned the company for the best part of 20 years, made the company available for sale. And although there were some very high profile buyers at the time, it was actually bought by a guy called David Richards, who was head of a consortium, and two of the members of the consortium are a massive Middle Eastern investment companies. And since the takeover in 2007, the company has absolutely rocketed. Now, whether you could say that Ford sold it at the wrong time, or whether it just made sense for all parties for the vehicle manufacturer to change hands, it just seems to have worked out extremely well for the new owners. Ford did have the foresight to actually retain a $77 million share in the company. So it's probably, at the time, it was just short of a 10% retention of shares. Yeah. But that investment is probably worth considerably more to them now, because the way that the company has taken things on and has become more and more successful in a relatively short period of time. I mean, that's certainly something that David Richards and the other owners of Aston Martin can take a great deal of pride in.
It sounds like you made a great buy. Tell us a little bit, Tony. Tell us a little bit more about today's Aston Martin.
Okay, we have a relatively small product range. We have the V8 Vantage, which is what we call in England. That's called probably the baby Aston, and you would probably compare it to something like a Porsche 911 Carrera or an S. I mean, that's the type of vehicle it is, and you can get the Vantage in either a coupe or a drop head, which is obviously the convertible. You then go up to the DB9, which is a 6-litre V12. And again, that is available in either a coupe or a drop head. And then you go to the real flagship vehicle, which is now called a DBS. To give you an idea, the DBS has a price of around about the $265,000, $268,000, and is the car that will feature in the new James Bond film that comes out in November with Daniel Craig, The Quantum of Solace. So we're all looking forward to seeing how that car performs in the new film.
What I've seen on the internet and some publications,
yes,
it's definitely going to be one of the coolest cars ever produced, as I understand.
It certainly will. I mean, there's a lot of anticipation, and in fact, we've covered our allocation, certainly our initial allocation, and if we could get another five cars tomorrow, we'd be able to sell all five straight away. I mean, that's how in demand that vehicle is, and hopefully our relationship with Aston Martin will enable us to get some more cars at a greater rate, but then every Aston Martin dealer will be saying exactly the same thing. You know, that they will all be trying to get the DBSs. All of ours are forward sold, and hopefully we'll get some more allocation. But you're absolutely right; it's destined to be
cool.
Just about the coolest car.
Have you had a chance to drive it yourself?
I haven't yet. No, that's
Tony,
something.
Tony, what are you waiting for, Tony?
Do you know what? We haven't even had a vehicle delivered yet. The production in England is trying to get these vehicles, which are mostly pre-sold, to the dealers, and we're just as keen to get ours. But we had our Aston Martin guy here today, and he's promised us that when we have our open day for Aston Martin, which is something that we will be having hopefully very soon, then he'll get us a DBS so that we can actually have it on display. He didn't mention that we could drive it, but we'll just take him round the corner and give him a drink, and then when he comes back, we'd have driven it anyway. So
you know as well as I do. If you're like me, I couldn't wait to get behind the wheel of that car.
Yes.
Just kind of get the feeling something like a James Bond.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
I do.
You say, you know, this is really cool. Now, I notice that with this car, they indicate you're able to buy a wristwatch.
Yes, you are, yes.
For $35,000.
Yeah.
Now, have you seen that watch?
Do you know what? I've probably just seen the same adverts for the watch that you've seen. I haven't actually seen it in the flesh as yet. I started to read about the car, and there was a completely separate brochure in the pack, and it was about a watch. And I read it without really taking any notice of how much that particular watch cost. And it was only after, a couple of days afterwards, I actually saw it on the internet that was the price of the watch. So I actually went back to make sure I'd looked up the right one, and yes, I had.
Go ahead.
When you see some of the things that James Bond's watch can do, you know, this one must do the same things, I'm guessing, for that sort of price.
Well, I thought you were British. You might be having exactly the same watch as James Bond does. It says here you'll spend $332,000 on a new Aston Martin DBS. Good for you, and to complete your James Bondification, you might also want to buy this wristwatch.
Yeah.
It's a custom Jagger Lacoste watch, which costs about $35,000.
Yeah.
Besides looking very stylish, you can also open your DBS and turn the on and off alarm.
Yeah.
Now that's a watch.
That's a watch, yeah. I'll be interested to see who our first customer is who wants the watch and the car. But the thing is that, you know, it almost will be, you know, if you have the car, you have to have the watch. So, you know, we pretty well expect people to be having the watch as well.
Well, if the watch is anywhere near this new car that's coming out, that, as I understand, almost all of your, as a matter of fact, all of your Aston Martins are hand-built.
Yes.
So what does that mean in today's disposable world? when you can see that a car is hand-built. What does that mean? What does that mean to the customer?
Well, the whole thing about individuality and craftsmanship with Aston Martin is that there are many things that a computer and a robot can do, but at the end of the day, a robot will not have the critical eye that a craftsman has. Each Aston Martin is absolutely perfectly and completely assembled, painted, and the leather sewn by craftsmen, by hand, and that's not the case for most of our competitors' cars. Not to denigrate the way that they build their vehicles, because a lot of computer technology is fantastic. It's just that Aston Martin believes that character comes with their cars, and the part of the character is because so much care and attention is put into building every single one of these cars. Just as an example, if you compare what Aston Martin, what time they take to build a DB9, the DB9 takes over 200 hours to assemble from start to finish.
Oh my gosh.
Now in this day and age, that's incredible, because again, not getting into any other manufacturers' names, but most other similar cars are built in 40 hours. So you can tell that it takes over five times as long to build a DB9, and when you take that sort of care and when you have that sort of attention to detail, that's what, when you sit in an Aston, that's what you feel. You almost have a relationship with the guy who stitched the leather, or the guy who built the engine, or the guy who took 50 hours just to paint the car, because just the painting alone takes 50 hours, and that's very, very rare in today's, as you quite rightly say, disposable world.
And it is, most of it is disposable, where buy your car, you have it for 4 or 5 years, and then you move on to somebody else. By then, the car's having all kinds of problems. And I noticed some of these automobile makers, they will guarantee the car for 5 years or 50,000 miles, and then that's all she wrote, for lack of better words.
Yes.
When they hire the craftsman,
yes,
and I'm assuming that it's built in the town of where in England?
Well, the manufacturing facility is actually in a place called Gaydon, and that's a brand. Well, in 2003, it was a brand new purpose-built Aston Martin facility. So that facility was expected to be able to cope with worldwide demand for the foreseeable future. Now, the capacity of that plant is 8,000 cars per year, and it's already starting to look as though worldwide demand will completely outstrip 8,000 vehicles. So Gaydon, although it's only 5 years old as a manufacturing facility, already has exceeded what they anticipated the demand would be for the cars. So obviously, again, as we were saying earlier, when David Richards and the consortium bought the vehicle, bought the company from Ford, he was making a very, very wise decision, and there's now alternatives for new models, how they're going to build new models, because Gaydon won't be able to facilitate the new model that's going to be joining us, or both the new models that are going to be joining us next year.
And it seems to me that of the, about 8,000 cars that are being built, and I'm assuming that's for the entire world.
It is for the entire world, yeah.
And so how many of those vehicles are going to be coming to the United States?
The United States is actually the biggest market for Aston Martin, and a third of the whole capacity will come to the US. Now, in reality, that's not going to satisfy the demand that we're going to have for these cars.
Do that.
Yeah, the other thing that, you know, from a world perspective, at the moment, Aston Martin has representation in 32 different countries. Now, you know, the marketing plan for Aston Martin is that, you know, there are some very big emerging markets, and they see before very long having representation in up to 100 different countries. So that's going to put, you know, quite a lot of pressure on the manufacturing plant to be able to satisfy that sort of demand.
Well, with that kind of demand, Tony, it sounds to me that sometimes some people may want to use it as an investment,
mm-hmm.
for the simple reason that the demand is so high.
Yes.
Do you find that some people do use this vehicle as an investment?
There are definitely certain models that have attained investment status, and as I say, the DBS that we spoke about earlier, that vehicle is in such demand that although when we sell that vehicle, you know, we hope it goes to somebody who's going to treasure that car. You know, the demand for that car could see it change hands, you know, quite quickly, because there will, without a doubt, there'll be a premium to be had from any DBS model. I mean, the demand and the inquiry level that we have is by far and away greater than the allocation that we're going to get, and
I can
probably,
imagine.
Yeah.
So tell me about today's Aston Martin model lineup. Can you speak a little bit about that?
Of course, yeah. The model lineup's quite straightforward, as we've already discussed. We have a Vantage, which is 4.3 liter V8. That develops about 380 brake horsepower, which is probably class leading in its segment. In Europe, or specifically in England, where I came from, the Vantage is known as the Baby Aston. It sort of just fits exactly in the segment where the 911 sits, and obviously the 911 is probably the main car in that segment. But the Baby Aston, the Vantage now is probably going to give it some serious competition both in Europe and in the US. It's an absolutely fantastic car. There's no way about it. In fact, in a lot of ways, if I got to pick out of the DB9 and the Vantage, although I love the DB9 and it's the car that the Times newspaper in London heralded as the car that achieved greatness for Aston Martin. So I love the DB9, but I enjoy driving the Vantage so much. You know, it's just an incredible car. You can have it as a coupe, you can have it as a convertible. So, you know, you're spoilt for choice, depending on
which one
whether.
Do you like better, the coupe or you like both of them?
Well, I like both of them. The thing with Florida is that with a convertible, you have to be careful because with the hood down, the sun's pretty fierce here, so you have to be careful.
I'm going to break away just for a moment or two, Tony. Hope you don't mind.
You carry on.
Okay, this is Syndicated News. I'm Raymond F. Ravis, Chief Financial Editor. And if you need to contact me, you can contact me on my email address, which is raymond.rivas, that's R-I-V-A-S, at lpl.com. And again, you're listening to syndicatednews.net. And our guest tonight is Mr. Tony Sutton. And before I get back to Tony, I'm going to make an announcement that we're going to be having one of the leading economists and stock market wizards, Mr. Lincoln Anderson, as our special guest. He's with the firm of LPL Financial Services, and he's renowned throughout the industry. He's been seen recently on CNN, MSNBC, ABC News, and most of these well-known news outlets. And Lincoln has agreed to be our special guest on October the 14th at 9 o'clock in the evening. So we're looking forward to listening to Mr. Lincoln Anderson from LPL Financial Services. And now back to our guest, Tony Sutton. Tony, I did want to talk a little bit about the new DB9.
Uh-huh.
And I did have a question, by the way. I know this is an off question.
Okay.
DB, what does that stand for?
Well, you would think that the obvious answer would be David Brown, who took over the company in 1947, I believe, just after
That's what I thought, huh?
Yes. I mean, obviously, if you look back, the DB series starts, you know, some time ago, but that's the obvious answer. And without actually researching it, I'm going to have to admit that I don't know that's definitely the answer, but it's the obvious answer.
Because I noticed when the James Bond movies came out,
yes.
He had that DB5 when he was in Goldfinger.
Yes.
And he also was in that Thunderball in 1965.
Yes.
And that seemed to be his company car. And so whenever I see a DB9 or DB5, I associate that with James Bond.
Absolutely.
I thought it was David Brown. Mm-hmm.
Have you noticed that even though James Bond's Aston Martins have been updated, and especially in the last film and the film before, mm-hmm. you still saw his DB5. It was actually portrayed in the films as his personal car rather than his company car, if you want to put it that way. The Vanquish was the official car, but the DB5, the original DB5, actually was Bond's personal car, which is like a cameo for the car, which is again probably very rare for a car to have a cameo in a film. But even in the new film that comes out in November,
mm-hmm.
I'm sure I've heard rumor that the DB5 is in that as well as Bond's.
It'll be back through somewhere.
Yes.
Because I know he had the DB5 in that Golden Eye. And I did see him again in. I've seen a lot of these movies, as you can see. And Tomorrow Never Dies. I think it seemed to become his personal car.
Absolutely,
and
that's
then,
correct.
You know what? About 1969, he came up with that metallic green, DBS.
Yes,
and
that's
And so I think it came up at the beginning of the film and at the end of the movie.
Yeah.
And then I've seen it again, you know, from time to time. But after a while, you know, he was with a different car. And then he appeared again with that with a charcoal gray V8 Volte that he had.
Yes,
he had the bandage in the Living Daylights in 1987, as I remember.
It sounds as though you're not only on the radio, but you're a film buff as well.
Oh, I see a lot of film.
Yeah.
And, you know, I've been watching those James Bond movies for a long time.
Yeah.
So when he would come out of these films, I'd see, well, which Aston Martin do I not own that he's driving?
well, have you put your order in for the DBS then? Because I sort of get the impression that that's the sort of car that you need to be in next.
Tony, that's why I'm talking to you. I'm hoping you're going to bump me to the front of the line here. But the way I'm going, you're going to bump me to the back of the line. It is. They are just gorgeous. And every time they come up on the screen, I'm sure there's some beautiful women around that they've got up on the screen, all those beautiful Bond girls. I'm watching the car.
well, you know, I mean, you're spoilt for choice. I mean, it doesn't matter which way you look. You always see something that's very attractive.
Absolutely. And in the... I think was it in Casino Royale when he was driving? I think what was it? I know that he had the DB5 in that one.
Yes, he did. Yeah, it did feature. Yeah.
Right, and he was driving that car after he won that poker game.
Yes, that's correct.
So,
yeah.
So I've been paying attention. So
you have been paying attention. Yes, congratulations. well, and you probably were paying attention without even knowing that we were going to be talking at that time.
Well, that's true. I also saw a film quite a while ago. You know, when they had those little bitty cars in that Italian job.
Oh, with the Minis.
Yes, but I saw that black Aston Martin, that Vanquish. I saw that.
Yeah, well,
and, so every time
you're
it comes
good.
Up. Well, every time I see that, I write it down. I come up on the internet or do some looking. I say, oh, okay, which one don't I have? Something like that.
The internet's a great source for checking things out. If you can be watching a film and you think, wow, look at that, and the internet's an amazing source to be able to make sure. Yeah, I definitely did see that. That's right.
Oh, they're gorgeous, gorgeous automobiles, and nothing can match that. So tell me about that DB9. and what it does offer.
DB9 is probably one of the loveliest cars you'll drive. As I already told you, the Times in London heralded the vehicle as saying it achieved greatness for Aston Martin. And if you look at the car, a 6-liter V12, 48 valve engine,
wow,
producing 450 brake horsepower. That's an amazing
That's nice going down the freeway.
It is. Now the only problem I have here is that the speed limits here are lower than they are in Europe. So, you know, sometimes I wish I could just jump in the car and take it on a boat back to Europe and actually use it, you know, how the manufacturer's intended. But it's still nice to drive around, even though you can't use it to its full potential.
Tony, that's a lot of horsepower.
It is.
But it goes. You know, I know you'd never be able to use that kind of horsepower.
No.
Just the thought of driving that car around the freeway, if you're tooling down the road.
Yeah.
And it makes a tremendous statement, doesn't it?
It does indeed. Yes, absolutely.
Let's talk about this, the most spectacular car that I've seen. At least I've seen photographs of.
Okay.
Let's talk about that 2009 DBS.
Okay. The DBS is just going to be the most sought after car. Obviously, being in a Bond film is going to make it, almost unbuyable. We've been taking probably 2 or 3 inquiries every other day on this car. So, when you consider that, it's going to be between $250,000 and $300,000, maybe slightly more if you have the watch. It is going to be the car of the year. There is absolutely no way that you can describe it in any other way. I would encourage everybody to go and see the Quantum of Solace. We've seen some trailers and we've seen some snippets of the car performing and what they're doing in the film, and some of the Aston Martin guys we're talking to are, it's easy to get carried away with this car,
what do they say?
Well, they're just saying that it is the best car they've ever produced. And it's almost, I don't know whether you have a program here or whether your listeners have access to a program here called Top Gear, which is a very, very famous BBC motoring program.
Uh-huh.
And they got the DBS and they took it around a track, they tested it, they really put it through its paces to see exactly how well it stacked up.
Yeah, let's find out what it has.
Okay.
No, I mean that's what they said. Let's find out what.
Exactly right. Now obviously these guys who are on this show, that that's their job. They all the time they're just testing different makes, different models. They're putting them around the track. They're putting them through a real torrid time, and the guy who hosts the show is a guy called Jeremy Clarkson. He's very, very well known in Europe, and he actually at the end of the show said that initially he wasn't sure about the DBS, but it was only after he looked to see exactly what Aston had done with the car and how they'd taken the DB9, and in almost every single way they had made the DBS just that little bit better than the DB9. And when you start off with the DB9, you're starting off with a real high performance supercar anyway. And then to get the DBS and make absolutely everything just that little bit better, he said it was without a doubt the best car he'd driven in the whole of the year. That's quite a statement for someone to make when you consider that he also has driven Ferraris, Bugattis, Porsches, Mercedes. He drives every single high performance car that you can get, and yet he said because he realized what Aston Martin set out to do and what they actually achieved, that it was, without a doubt, his car of the whole year.
Tony, it sounds to me when you describe the Aston Martin,
yeah,
it sounds like you're almost describing a beautiful jewel. Is this the way you view the Aston Martin?
It is.
A beautiful diamond or something.
Absolutely. I mean, I'm an enthusiast. I'm a car enthusiast, and it's just, you know, probably the reason why I ended up being in the business I'm in, doing what I do, working for the people I work for. You know, it's an absolute pleasure for me to come into work, walk into this new showroom, and, you know, I walk through the door and I see Aston Martins, I see Bentleys, Rolls Royce, Jaguars. It's an absolute joy to come in and see exactly the way these cars are produced, the way they're finished, the way they're presented, and just how they feel. And the DBS, although I haven't actually managed to get into the car yet because we haven't had one delivered, that is almost like what I'm looking forward to the most. I mean, it's as soon as that car arrives, I think I'm going to probably, you know, I think I'm going to just disappear in the car and everybody will just be wondering where I've gone. It's, you know, you can probably tell in my voice I'm excited about thinking about.
I can hear that. It's certainly,
yeah.
I can hear the excitement. I can see all
absolutely.
The when that comes in that door.
Yes.
I'm just kind of curious when that car arrives. The
yeah.
excitement in
oh,
the showroom.
Yeah.
The excitement in the owner. The excitement in the clientele that you have.
Yes.
Can you imagine
yes.
what that experience is going to be like? It's going to be. What do you think it's going to be like?
Well, if I ever come back in the car, which, you know, there's no guarantee I'll ever come back, because, you know, I think once I get in it, I think I'll just be so amazed by it. I want to keep the car. But assuming that I do come back and then we get some more cars for our customers, I'm looking forward to seeing the look on people's faces when, you know, they sit in this car. The great thing about Aston Martin is
uh-huh.
when you sit in the car and you close the driver's door and
yes.
you know just that moment before you start the car up, because mm-hmm. the way an Aston Martin starts is it's almost like music. The roar of that engine, whether it be the V8 in the Vantage, whether it be the V12 in the DB9, just that roar as that car starts up, it's something that you cannot help but smile. And the times that I've looked at people just as they're about to push that button, and then that they push it, and you can see their face light up, and it is almost something that happens every time. I mean, you know, very rarely do you get somebody who don't just, you know, the smile over their faces. It's just a real pleasure.
So now, when someone comes in the front door.
Yes.
And they come walking in, and they say, you know, I want to see the new Austin, you know, this new Aston Martin.
Yes.
What kind of experience do they have when they walk into your showroom? What does your firm do to make them feel special?
Okay. I like to think that we are at the start of a relationship, and customer service
uh-huh.
to me is the way that any business has to move forward. To me, the sale is just the start of a relationship that we hope to have for many, many years. It has to be the lasting relationship built on the fact that we deliver on the promises that we make. We deliver on the fact that we promise that we will look after their car. We will, you know, anything that the customer wants, that is our job to find a way of providing that. Customer service in this day and age is something that is continually evolving, in my opinion. And if it doesn't evolve, then you go backwards. It's something that we always look to improve upon.
I meant to ask you, what does your firm do to have that evolving become obvious to the client?
We empower every single member of our staff to make sure that the customer experience is as perfect as it can actually be. Although we have managers here who do the organizational structure
uh-huh.
of the company, everybody is empowered to make sure that if our customers need something, it doesn't have to go through a chain of command before it gets done. We have got people who just know exactly where to go, what to do, and our customers come first all the time. It's something that I remember going on a course back in England many, many years ago, and it was a trainer at the time that I'd been on one of his courses before, and so I was really keen to go again because he was a very, very good sales and customer service trainer. But on this occasion, he started off our training session by saying, I want you to remember this because it will help you for years to come in your business. And then we all sort of sat there waiting for him to say what he was going to say. And the phrase that he come out with has stuck with me ever since. And he said to all of us, he said, in business, people will forget what you say. They will in time forget what you do, but they will never forget how you make them feel. And I just found that
true.
I just found that such a powerful statement that, you know, we're all driven by emotions, and if we have an experience that makes us feel good, we'll remember that forever. In the same way, if we have an experience that makes us feel not so good, we'll remember that, and we won't try and duplicate that experience. So the way I look at our business is that everybody must leave our premises having had a great experience and feeling good about having walked through our door, whether they buy a car, whether they're in the service department, whether they come to our parts department, or whether they're just coming for curiosity because we've got this fantastic new showroom, and you know, they're just walking through the door just to have a look around. We want them to go away having had an experience that made them feel good, because, you know, in my opinion, that's the thing that will bring them back when they're in the market to buy a car, whether they're in the market for servicing, whatever the case may be. It's making people feel good.
I'm going to break away for a moment or two, Tony, but before I break away, I'm going to ask you to think about the following question.
Okay.
And the question is, what's in the future for Aston Martin?
Okay.
I want you to think about that for a moment or two while I do a station identification. And this is Syndicated News. I'm Raymond F. Ravis, Chief Financial Editor. The name of our firm is Atherton Wealth Planning here in the area of Atherton, California. And you're listening to syndicatednews.net. This has been brought to you this evening by Shadow Operations, LLC. And before I get back to my guest, Mr. Tony Sutton, I also want to announce that I'm going to have the firm of Domain Canaris out of Sonoma, California is going to be our guest also on October the 14th following Lincoln Anderson. Domain Canaris is one of the leading wineries of fine champagne, although it's called sparkling wine, and my special guest is going to be their general manager. So that's going to be after the broadcast with Mr. Lincoln Anderson, the economist from LPL Financial Services. And now back to Tony. Tony, I asked you that question about what's in the future for Aston Martin.
Okay, it's a great question. Obviously, we are a sports car manufacturer, but coming soon is a model called the Rapide, which is a four-door car based on an extended DB9 platform. Now, this will open up new market potential for us and obviously for Aston Martin. The issue with the Rapide is that, as we've already discussed, the production capacity of our current range of cars is about 8,000 units per year, and that's already taken up with producing Vantage, DB9 and DBS. So the Rapide is actually going to be built in Austria. This is actually a dedicated facility that's it's actually owned by Magna Steyr, which is they're automotive specialists, and they are going to be building the Rapide for us in Austria. Now, geographically, that also makes a lot of sense because our engine plant for Aston Martin is actually in Cologne in Germany. So strategically, it's a good location to have the Rapide built, much more locally to where the engines come from than where Gaydon is, which is obviously where the rest of the cars are built. So the four-door Rapide is going to open up a lot more markets for us. It's still going to have a sporting feel. It's still going to have the heritage of racing that all the rest of the cars have, because you cannot build an Aston Martin without having that character in the car. Now, this model probably won't start production until close to the end of 2009, and production is going to be 2,000 cars worldwide. So again, it's not going to be a vehicle that's going to be easily, you're not going to be able to just pick this vehicle up. It's probably going to be on an order to order basis. It's going to be a specialist racing car, as Astons are, but it's going to be a four door variant.
It's going to be four doors.
It's going to be four door, yeah. And again, as we spoke earlier, the pictures of this car, probably not the finished article, but there are pictures on this car on the internet.
Mm-hmm.
So for anybody who's always thought, I would love to own the Aston Martin, but I really need a four-door car, at the end of 2009, all their prayers are going to be answered, because this car is going to become reality.
And tell us a little bit more about, I'm seeing that you've got another one coming in. It looks like the Lagonda.
Well, they're going to be reproducing Lagonda. That was one of the things that David Brown, he bought the Lagonda Motor Company, and Lagonda probably made their last car in the 80s, and then they actually stopped making Lagondas, but they are actually going to reintroduce it. But there is also, and I don't know whether I'm preempting you, whether you, in your research, whether you've come up with the other specialist car that Aston Martin are going to be bringing out next year, called the 177.
I've read a little bit about that. Why don't you speak about that? Because that should be truly revolutionary.
This is the car to end all cars, because there's only going to be, and again, I can't give anybody any accurate information on this car, because Aston Martin haven't released it. But there's only going to be 77 of these cars produced.
Now, this is going to be what's going to drive it is hydrogen.
No. This is a completely different car. At this point in time, and again, I can only give you the information that I've managed to get. This is not from Aston Martin. This is through various other sources and some places on the internet that you can go to look at some specialist cars. At this point in time, the world's most expensive car is probably the Bugatti Veyron. Now, that's about $1.4 million. I think I'm fairly close. I think it's $1.4 million. The 177, from what we can work out, is going to be substantially more than that. But there's only ever going to be 77 of these cars.
My gosh.
I read one yesterday. I read a report yesterday which claims that the 177 will replace the Veyron as the most expensive car in the world. But, if it's true, it probably doesn't make a lot of difference, because the 77 owners of this car are probably people that Aston Martin have already been talking to and already saying, if we build it, would you want to buy it? And I think originally they looked at 500 potential owners worldwide. And in England they are taking. There's some gambling going on in England about who the first 177 owner will be, and some of the names that are flying around are, there's some very, very powerful people that potentially are in line to own one of these cars.
Mm-hmm.
It'll only be 77 made. It will be powered by a 7-litre V12 engine, and it will produce 650 brake horsepower. The top speed, we don't really know, but it will pass 200 miles an hour very quickly, and it should go on to 220, 230, and probably that's not necessarily where it will stop. But until Aston Martin actually come out with the true figures on this car, we can only speculate and we can only read about, you know, potentially what this car is going to do.
What an exciting automobile!
It's going to be, you know, Aston Martin. It seems every year they seem to find a way of getting better than they did last year, and that's fantastic, because if you don't evolve in that way, then you never move forward. So, you know, the 177 will never ever arrive in a showroom, because they are going to actually take 177 prototypes out to the clients' homes and say, okay, we spoke to you about this car, this is what it's going to be, we can tailor it to fit you, to have the specification. You know, that it will literally be unique to each individual owner. So there'll be 77 unique cars out there, but, you know, this car is likely to be, you know, almost like a race car for the road, but without losing the luxury that you have with any Aston Martin.
Well, Tony, I hope you're the one who drives that car out there, or the prototype out there, so you can shine. You know, you should be thinking, this is worth how much? A million what?
Well, they're saying that if the Bugatti Veyron is $1.4 million, and they're saying that the 177 will be substantially more than the Veyron. So, you know, I mean, it could be anything from $1.5, $1.6, $1.7 million. We actually just don't know at the moment, because with such a limited amount of vehicles, you know, only 77 worldwide, you know, potentially they could already have the 77 owners. I don't actually know. And we'll get a press statement released from Aston Martin eventually saying, you know, we have 77 owners and 76 of them want to remain anonymous, but this one doesn't. You know, that's just how it probably will work.
Well, I can see you, because you're very British. You probably have your British coat on as you're behind the wheel of this beautiful car, tooling down the road. I don't know about you, but I'd be afraid to touch anything.
Yeah.
You know, with a million, a million seven.
Yes.
And if people are going to point, they're going to say, now there goes Tony.
Yeah, you that's know, good.
You know the British guy.
Well, I was thinking that maybe you and I ought to have one each.
And they say, where does he work? Well, he works at that Aston Martin of Naples. You know, that really
right.
Rifty place with those beautiful, beautiful automobiles.
That's right. That's where I'll be.
Listen, I do want to ask you about, it looks like you're having some sort of events at your facility. It looks like there's that new 2009 V8 Vantage being shown throughout the country.
It is.
And a scheduled riding events at the dealerships this fall.
Yes.
Are you doing one of these events at your dealership?
Yes. Yeah. I mean, as we draw towards the end of the year, there's going to be lots of events going on. Not only will we have dealership events with a new Vantage, we have obviously, having only just moved into the new facility, we're going to have an opening event for all five of our manufacturers, as well as our grand opening of just the facility. So there's six events there, plus the V8 Vantage, probably like a ride and drive event, and that's on top of another event which will tie in with the new Bond film and the DBS coming. So we're going to be really busy with hopefully demonstrating to you know, our clientele that, you know, these cars really need to be driven and really need to just be sat in and started, and that's when the love affair begins.
Oh my gosh, what do those events look like when they're being given?
Well, the opening event for the dealership will just be an event where we'll invite previous customers, we'll invite people that have expressed interest in the cars. We'll have vehicles to drive. We have a very special relationship with a five-time Le Mans winner called Derek Bell. He's another English guy. We have a very special relationship with him. He's always at the dealership. He's always meeting people, and it's not very often you get to meet someone like him. His actual involvement is more on the Bentley side, because he does a lot of test driving for Bentley, but he's a great friend of our dealership. He spends as much time as he can here, and you know, from a customer point of view, how often do you get to walk into a dealership and actually meet a true ex-Formula One, five-time Le Mans winning driver. So, you know, I can't say Derek will be involved in Aston Martin because he's actually affiliated with Bentley, but I'm sure that on some of our events he'll be around because he's a very personable guy. He loves meeting people. He loves explaining the sort of things that you can do with a race car that you and I would just never dream of.
Imagine.
Yeah, so there's going to be lots going on. You know, in reality, I don't know how we're going to fit it all in, but we're going to have to find a way.
Well, it sounds to me there's a lot of good times up ahead for all of these wonderful people going to be coming to this this grand event.
Yes,
and it sounds like it's going to be just an awful lot of fun.
Yes.
Now, before we close in a few minutes.
Okay.
I'm going to ask you to do me a favor, Tony, and give me again the website, you know, for the Aston Martin of Naples.
Okay.
So that people can take a look at the website and gaze at these beautiful automobiles.
Okay.
Given the information that they need so that therefore they can get hold of you.
Okay.
Website.
Okay, I'll give you the website, which is the easiest website to go into is www.naplesluxuryimports.com. You can also access all of our manufacturers. You can go into AstonMartinNaples.com, BentleyNaples.com, JaguarNaples.com, and so on. You can get to all of our manufacturers. The NaplesLuxuryImports.com will give you access to the whole lot in one go, which is probably the best one to use. The other thing is that if you have any listeners who need specific information, if they want help on anything, then I'd encourage them to ring and ask for me. I will do everything I can to make sure that we satisfy every single need and demand that they have. I can probably help most people, but I can call on specialists if there's a specific issue or there's something that somebody, you know, particularly is interested in. If I don't feel I'm the right person to handle it, I'll make sure that I get one of our specialists involved who will literally take complete ownership and we can help anybody.
And you make sure that they're well taken care of.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
Now, besides Naples, will you be willing to help anybody in the United States purchase a car from your dealership, or do you deal primarily, or is it broken up in different segments of the country?
Okay.
Or if someone calls you from California and said, you know, I'd like to meet Tony, I'd like him to service me, and so therefore, could they be able to talk with you, even though they might be in Los Angeles or in San Francisco or?
We have a few parameters that we have to abide by, and that our manufacturers do want us to concentrate on the territory that we're actually located in. Having said that, there are a lot of what we'd class as open points throughout the United States, and an open point, you know, we can certainly service anybody in an open point. So, yeah, anybody is more than welcome to call me, and I will do everything I can to help. And if it's, we ship cars all over the country. So just so that everybody knows, we send cars to all over the United States. We don't have to just sell into our own territory, although we try and play by the rules. We try not to infringe on somebody else's territory. We try not to sell cars into somebody that doesn't have an address that fits into our zip code areas. But quite often, you know, the United States being as big as it is, there's a lot of points that are actually open, and we can supply the cars. That's no problem whatsoever. And from a personal point of view, I'd be only too pleased to help, with any of our brands, whether it be Rolls-Royce, whether it be Aston Martin, whoever. I'm more than happy to get involved and help in any way I can.
Well, thank you for taking the time to concentrate on the Aston Martin. It's a beautiful car.
Absolutely.
A car that I've admired, for many, many years. due to the James Bond films and any magazines or internet articles that I see pertaining to the Aston Martin, because it is such a special automobile.
Yes, it is.
And I am looking forward to that motion picture, you know, Quantum of Solace.
Yes.
With Mr. James Bond again, and I'll be sitting in the front row again and just eyeing those beautiful, beautiful automobiles. And
well,
before we end tonight, Tony,
yes.
Is there anything else that you want to cover?
I'd like to thank you again for taking the time for speaking with me tonight. It's been a pleasure, and I just would like to hope that if anybody has any questions. They can email me if email is preferable. My email address is tsutton@astonmartinnaples.com. It's something that, you know, if there's anything I can do, and again, although that's the Aston Martin email address, I can answer questions or any queries on any of the brands, Rolls-Royce, Bentley, Jaguar, Land Rover, Aston Martin. If you send it to that email address, I'll pick it up and I'll try and help in any way I can. And from a personal point of view, I've really enjoyed having this conversation. It's been
Tony,
really nice speaking to you.
Tony, you've been a joy to talk to. You're a real enthusiast, number one.
Absolutely.
Obviously. Number two, you're a very good speaker. And
thank
it sounds
you.
To me, I believe that the people who deal with you have a wonderful experience with the purchase of the various cars that you have on, you know, there in your shop, including the Aston Martin, which is obviously my very favorite.
Yes.
So I want to thank you again for being the person who's going to sell the coolest car in the world.
Thank you.
The 2009 DBS. Oh, and one more question. If people want to find out when that car is going to be introduced.
Yes. What you mean, the DBS?
Yes, uh-huh. When do you suspect that may be?
Well, the DBS is already on Aston Martin's website, so you can find out everything about the car. If you go on to AstonMartinUSA.com, the DBS is already on there. The problem with DBS is that the allocations are relatively small in relation to the demand for the car. So, you know, if anybody has any queries with regard to how quickly they could actually get one, if they was to email me or give me a call, I will certainly make some inquiries. But already we have a list of people that want the car that won't get them until next year at the earliest. So, you know, if anybody needs information, please email me, and I'll get back to you as quickly as I can with whatever information I can find out. But the DBS is already on Aston Martin's own website.
Well, Tony, I'm assuming you're going to bump me up, I said before, to the front. I'm not holding my breath, though. But when it does come in, maybe we'll talk and we'll see where we're going from there. It's been a true pleasure talking with you, Tony.
Thank you.
And you've been very gracious and gave a great explanation about the dealership and about the owners and your website. Before we hang up, I want you to give your website one more time.
Okay.
And so therefore indicate, you know, how people can get hold of you. And it has been a pleasure talking with you. Please give
your
website, and then we'll close the show. And I look forward to meeting you one of these days.
That would be great. I look forward to that as well.
So, Tony, go ahead and give your website, and then we'll close the show.
Okay, the website is www.naplesluxuryimports.com. My email, tsutton@astonmartinnaples.com. Anything I can do, please contact me. I'll be delighted to help.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Bye-bye, Tony.
Good night.
This is Syndicated News. I'm Raymond F. Rebus, Chief Financial Editor. The name of our firm is Atherton Wealth Planning, and you may contact me on my email, raymond.rebus@lpl.com, and you're listening to syndicatednews.net, brought to you this evening by Shadow Operations, LLC. And this concludes our show for this evening, and I look forward to seeing you again at our next broadcast. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.